Thanks for tuning in to Americana Music Profiles. It's Season 3, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine in print and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com online. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's join in on another great conversation with one of the Americana music industry's super talented artists. Chris Pluska and his band Curio have been playing to crowds and juke joints, dives, and clubs in around Chicago, Illinois since 2009. His music and his new album, Tall Tales, is the topic of our conversation on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Well, hi, Chris. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Yep. Good to talk to you. So you are in Chicago, right?
You got it.
Has that been home for you for your whole life?
Yeah.
How long have you been? Has music been the theme for you?
Since grade school. My parents really raised me on a whole bunch of different stuff. Took guitar lessons very early, and just kept going. But it didn't really kick in until middle school, like around sixth grade, and I was in and out of a bunch of bands, and finally, out of high school, Curio really got going.
And how long has that been your band? How long have you guys been together?
We've been together since, this lineup has been together since 2012, but the band's been around since 2009, but it's gone through a bunch of different sounds and iterations.
You mentioned that pretty much just straight out of high school. Is this something that's a full-time thing for you?
On and off. For me, yeah. For the rest of the guys, not so much. But I'm always promoting, always booking, and we try and play out as much as we possibly can.
Do you also do solo work, or is it exclusively with the band, Curio?
I started doing some solo stuff last year just to kind of fill in the calendar.
Yeah, okay.
And that's definitely always on the table. I really enjoy doing both.
What does your solo work sound like compared to the band?
Obviously more stripped down. It's still Curio songs, just because those are, I solely write them. So I bring those out on the road. But, yeah, it's just more stripped down, more of the way that they were originally written before we just make it really loud and dirty.
Yeah, I was looking over the press material that they sent over, and a couple of things stuck out for me. One of them was says their music is steeped in Southern Gothic lore. Tell me about that. What is that? I have images that come to mind when I think of that. But for folks that maybe
sure.
haven't heard you guys, tell me what that means.
Very swampy. For me, it's kind of it embodies a lot of the travel. That you'll do down south. I mean, like a band like the Legendary Shackshakers, which is a big influence, and we've been fortunate enough to do shows with, and
cool.
The lead singer, J.D. Wilkes, was actually on our last record. So there's definitely ties there, and definitely draw a lot from them. But it's just the imagery of, you know, moss hanging over swamps, just like voodoo rituals in New Orleans and things like that. Like a very Cormac McCarthy type setting.
Obviously, Chicago is linked to blues, and that kind of mystique, smoky kind of sound. Was that always your influence growing up? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, all of the Chess records. All the Chess Records guys, anything Howlin' Wolf, anything Muddy Waters, huge influence. I mean, huge influence for all of us in the band, actually. But just that dirty, very Chicago blues sound.
Mm-hmm.
And currently I work at Reggie's, which is a rock club down in the city, and it's a couple streets down from Michigan Avenue from Chess. So being in close proximity to that is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And is that you work there doing other things, or musically that's a regular gig for you?
Both. Musically, it's a regular gig for us. It's been a home away from home since 2010,
okay.
and they've been incredibly generous to us. But that's what I do outside of music, too. I'm a bouncer there as
well. Yeah, yeah.
So cool. I get to enjoy it from both ends.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. What the other line in the material I had here was that their records are love letters to the bastards, brawlers, vagabonds, and believers who've shaped American folklore for better or for worse.
Sure.
That idea that they're love letters, and then you've got that string of other descriptors there. Where did that come from?
I think it just comes from all of us being working class folk and growing up in Chicago. I grew up off of Belmont Central, which is a heavily Polish middle class.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think that a lot of times those are heroes of our culture. And I think, you know, you see that a lot in Americana. You see that a lot in country. You see that a lot
right.
in blues. And that's definitely something that we feel down to our bones. I mean, none of us are really making a lot of money, or none of us are, you know, working cushy 9-to-5 jobs.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's just like that's kind of the thing, you know, that's kind of the approach. And I think a lot of change, you know, has come from the middle class.
Yeah, yeah. What's a typical audience for you when you play as a band? Is it, do you have a lot of people that are natives of the Chicago area, or is that a tourist type scene where you've got people coming in from outside that get to enjoy the music?
It depends. It depends on the event. Most of it is local. So it'll be a lot of people from the punk scene, a lot of people from the roots scene.
Okay.
You know, definitely both are thriving scenes in Chicago. If we're on a bigger bill, you'll get a lot of the touristy kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But other way, the crowds are great. They're fantastic.
And then when you go out of the city, what does a tour look like for you when you take the band and your music outside of Chicago?
It really depends on the venue. It's usually small venues, so it's great because it's really we get to really connect with the crowd. But a lot of times we'll go up to Milwaukee or we hit the Midwest, so it's just a lot of local drinking holes and places like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And the folks that that are in charge of putting you in those venues, what's the exposure outlets for people? Obviously, people come to those venues are coming because they, at least some of them come because they know you or had a chance to have seen you or mm-hmm. heard you somewhere else. What type of outlets are they getting to experience your music in?
Mostly online. I think social media and social networking really helps, but fortunately we've got a lot of really good and positive word of mouth just from the bills that we'll play on, or, you know, our loyalty to a lot of different venues, things like that. So I think really it's a combination of really positive word of mouth and social media.
Do you guys get to do some festivals also?
Yeah, we've done a few. We love doing them. They're amazing. We've done Moonrunners,
okay.
which is a really great country punk bluegrass Americana fest here
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
Chicago, which is done at Reggie's. And then we've done Oktoberfest as far down as Paducah, Kentucky.
Okay,
that's
cool.
A blast.
Yeah.
I think we're doing that again this year.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've done a lot of really great and fantastic fests, Vintage Torque Fest. We were doing car fests for a while, like classic cars,
rockabilly, yeah. Okay.
that kind of thing. And that was really fun. It's a really fun scene. Everybody takes care of you, and it's great.
Well, at the risk of trying to draw comparisons, when I first listened to some of your music, there was this kind of earthy, edgy hint of you know, the ZZ, early ZZ Top. And it's mm-hmm. funny that you said, you know, that you've been doing some classic cars, because obviously that was a theme for them, you know, the classic cars and,
yeah.
and some of their videos. And so that's interesting. I wouldn't have put those two together until you said that. Normally you think classic car shows is 50s and 60s music, but it makes sense that they would also, you know, want to have this gritty blues feel too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and if you look at the roots of all that music, I mean, I think it all comes back to the blues, or it all comes back to that kind of gritty feel. And we've got guys in the band that, you know, band that works on cars. I ride motorcycles.
Okay.
So it's great to be able to, you know, kind of work through a bunch of different scenes.
And
get a feel for them and learn from them and adapt and have that influence your writing style.
I would think that even biker fests, is that the type of thing that you guys get a chance to play also?
Yeah, there's a local club out here, Reckless, and we've done fests for them, and that's just a hoot.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's cool. you mentioned earlier when we were talking a little bit about your solo stuff that you know are doing all originals. Do you also do that as a band? Is that mostly original music?
Oh, it's all original.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll throw in some covers. I mean, we'll throw in the longest cover we've been doing is Got My Mojo Working by Muddy Waters.
Yeah,
we'll throw that in.
Okay.
So we'll bust out some covers every now and then. I think we're probably due to start, you know, throwing in a different one. I'm sure everybody's really tired of hearing us say that one, but
yeah. Tell me about your songwriting process. Are you the main songwriter, or is it a collective?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm the main songwriter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where does the inspiration come from when you know, melody first, lyrics first? Is it a mixture? When you're inspired to create something, where do you typically find that happens for you?
It depends on what I want to say. If it's something that I want to say specifically, lyrics will come first. So if there's something in the news, or if there's something happening in my life that I want to try and express as poignant as possible, mm-hmm. then I'll usually run for a pen and paper first. But if there's a sound, if that feeling is kind of a sound, like something that I can translate into a riff, then I'll pick up a guitar. But it's really a mix. I don't think that there's one that I probably do more than the other.
Mm-hmm. Is that... how do you incorporate that into your day? Is there, you know, some songwriters kind of have a couple hours a day where they focus on that. Others are just kind of wait till something hits them. Do you have a catalog that you're working on in advance of any sort of material that you go into with a studio?
By the time we get in the studio, everything is really kind of fleshed out. But once we finish a record, it usually takes me a little bit, just because I'm at a point where I'm just kind of burnt out. I said everything that I wanted to say at that point.
Yeah.
And it takes me a little bit to get writing. So with Tall Tales coming out April 14th, I don't think I've written one new song.
Okay.
But but prior to that, I mean, sometimes it's just kind of, it just hits. And when it hits, it just doesn't stop for a very long time.
Okay.
But right now I'm kind of in that the recess period.
Okay. So and Tall Tales is what number for you guys as far as releases?
Number 3.
Okay. And tell me about this one a little bit. You said just came out April 14th. Same style? Is it different at all in previous work?
I think it's definitely different, only because I think this one really captures us as honestly as possible. I think that this definitely captures more of what we're about live, more of what we're about as a band than mm-hmm. the other two. Mm-hmm. The first record that we had, Redemption, Salvation, Temptation, none of the guys that are in the band now, except for Tommy Kamka, the guitarist, was on that record.
Okay.
So by the time that we went to our second record, Twisted Roots, where J.D. Wilkes was gracious enough to come in and record with us, that was the first one with this current lineup. So I think we were still kind of feeling it out. We were still seeing where we were going. And then this one came out 3 years after that, and we had a bunch of shows under our belt. We'd really gotten to know each other really well, and I think that this one really captures us as honestly as possible. And it's definitely different sounding in the way that we approached it. We just went into the studio and basically just recorded it live. I mean, we didn't really sit down and overdub too much. It was just kind of hit record, and whatever was the best take we used. And then I would come in and do vocals. I think that that was the only thing, that and some lead parts were the only things that were overdubbed.
Yeah, cool. And so are you out promoting that now, or is there a tour set up or on the way? What does that look like, the promotion for this?
No tour, but we have been playing shows. We had a string of record release shows back in April around the release that were really great and really successful. And we've got a show coming up tomorrow at Liars Club in Chicago. But past that, our calendar is kind of a little open, but we definitely will be filling that up soon.
A lot of the Americana roots groups that we encounter, or at least I encounter in the spring and summertime and fall, are kind of on this festival thing, and so they're typically going to be a 45-55 minute set, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
How does that differ for you guys if you're doing a venue, or are you co-billing with someone, or will you play a longer show than the kind of the typical bluegrass Americana type event that we see?
It really depends. I mean, we've done shows where we'll play for a couple hours, and we definitely, we're a band that really likes to kind of jam and feel it out.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I mean, we're doing solid 45 minute sets, but when we're out doing shows, we put bills together. We've got some really great talent that comes out with us, and so yeah.
So you guys aren't necessarily always exclusively the only entertainment for the evening when you're playing somewhere?
No, mostly not. But we have done that before. But, yeah, I've definitely seen that where a lot of the roots folks or a lot of the Americana folks are doing a few sets a night. And we've never really done that. We've done that once or twice. But most of the time we're going out, we've got a bill. We've got, like, a package.
Yeah, okay. Have you done any European work?
No, not yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. On the wish list, I assume?
Definitely on the wish list, yeah. I mean, every band that we know that's gone over there has nothing but great things to say about the European market, the crowds, just everything. I mean, that's definitely on a wish list, for sure.
Yeah, from what I understand from the artists that I've talked to that have been there, that they say the same thing, very receptive, and it's almost kind of like it's still kind of all new and fresh to them, so they're starving for anything new they can get a hold of, so that's cool. Yeah, well, I hope you guys get to do that.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
So what's the future look like for you guys? Where do you... if you could look into a crystal ball 5 years down the road, what do you wish for the band to be able to be doing?
Honestly, just the same of what we're doing now. I love where we're at. I love the consistent stream of shows. I love the support from our record label, Rusty Knuckles. I'm really happy. I'm really content with where we're at.
That's
just
cool.
being able to play music,
and
be able to do that on a consistent basis. And that's the dream, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. That's awesome.
And we've gotten to see places, that we probably would have never gone, if we weren't like booked out that way or something like that.
Yeah.
So you know, it's just the adventure, you know, just getting to see small towns.
How can folks get a hold of you, reach out to you, get a chance to listen to your music? Give me some ways for them to find you.
They can find us online at curio.band. That's our official website. We got a big Instagram presence. We've got Facebook. You can look us up at Curio Official. We got Twitter. Same thing, Curio Official. You can find us on the Rusty Knuckles website, our label.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks, Chris. Good stuff, man. Enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thank you, Greg. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.